just a ball of clay. Amen. The Lord spoke of in Jeremiah. The hand of the potter got a hold of it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Molding us into His image, into the image of His Son. He'll make us. Amen. Praise God. Brother Wells, you ready to come preach for us? All right. Let's pray for him. Be obedient this week. Listen, if the Lord gives you something to say or gives you a song, you please, I want you to mind the Lord.
Pastor David listens, I've turned this on, so I think we got it on. Good? Yeah, buddy. All right, I want you to open the Bible, the book of Luke, chapter number 5 tonight, Luke 5. I want to apologize to you, dear folks, for having to cough so much this morning, and hopefully it won't be quite as bad tonight. We had, I've got a complication of respiratory problems, so if you're wondering if I've had COVID, the test said no. And you're wondering if I've got strep throat, the test said no. If you're wondering if I've got the flu, the test said no. So what have I got? I don't know. I don't know. But whatever it is, you know, the doctor don't know how to get rid of it. So anyway. But anyway, be patient with me if you would. And hopefully, I hope the Lord get do something for me before the rapture. Amen. Lord, are you in Luke tonight? I want to make a statement before we get started tonight. I appreciate what Brother Ronnie said in his testimony about not saying, you know, what he did before he got saved. I was in a camp meeting, some years ago, and there was this couple that was singing, and one of them, well, it was a husband and wife team, and the husband said, I want my wife to give her testimony now. Well, the pastor didn't ask her to do that, take up that time, but she went ahead, and she gave some absolutely awful information to young ears that shouldn't have heard it. And so when I got up, I made some enemies that day, but I got up and I said, you know, I said, I made it this practice since I've been saved to never tell what I was in before I got born again. There ain't no sense in nobody. Look, Jesus saves from sin, right? And so if you were just a 12-year-old girl or boy and you had disobeyed your mom and dad one time, you're headed to hell. And if God saved you, same amount of grace that saved that child saved you no matter how deep you are. So I don't think there's any reason why we ought to try to magnify the devil. So now if that hurts your feelings, just don't tell me about it, and we'll be friends forever. Amen. All right, we're in Luke chapter number 5, and I got a teachy-preachy message for you tonight. Y'all know what that means? Okay, means you probably ain't going to shout. Amen. Okay. So verse number 1, I'm going to read down through verse number 11 tonight of this passage, and it'll be not something you haven't already heard. You've already heard the scripture preached, I'm sure, numbers of times. But I want to take just a little different idea here from the passage. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And pay attention now to the next two, three verses. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing, Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when he had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were on the other, in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished at all that were with him, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforward thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all, and they followed him. All right, let's pray, and then I'll try to give you a little bit of this material. Lord, I want to give you thanks again today for being the God that your Bible said, your eyes are over the righteous, and your ears are open to their prayers. And so, Lord, I want to thank you tonight that you know every one of us, you know what our needs are. And so I'm going to ask you tonight, Lord, to help me to say the things that, Lord, you won't say tonight, so that we as your children can receive the help we need, Lord, to maybe go just a little farther, to try to be a better Christian and try to see you work in a better way than, Lord, you have already. So I'm going to ask you to bless these dear people, bless Pastor and his family. And, Lord, you know the host of burdens and the host of heartaches and difficulties that, Lord, these dear people are facing and they serve you with. So I'm going to pray to help them with all that. But, Lord, teach us from your word tonight and help us. And we'll honor you in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I'm going to do something that I don't normally do, but I'm going to do it for you tonight. I want to tell you what I'm going to preach on, and then I'm going to build to it. Now, are y'all listening to what I'm about to tell you? From this passage, I want to dissect it, and I want to look at this idea, and it's not comfortable, but I want to preach on faithless obedience. Now, usually when you think about obedience, you're thinking about faithful obedience. But I want to look tonight at this passage, and I want to look at and deal with the idea of a faithless obedience. Now, I want to give you a couple of things before we get there. And so let's start off by just getting an understanding of what the Lord meant when he talks about obedience. Well, when he talks about obedience, he's talking about this. It has the idea of hearing and then heeding or obeying a supreme authority. Now, let me say that again so we get it. So in the idea of obedience here, full obedience, it means this, that I'm hearing an authority, and I'm going to do what that authority says because that authority is supreme. So is the Lord supreme? Now, that's four of you. How about the rest of you now? Is the Lord supreme? Yes, he is. Now, let me ask you this. Is he your supreme Lord? Now, that's important for our life. Is he really your supreme Lord? Now, let me give you a couple of things here. You already know, but let me just say them tonight for the benefit of the message. So, how important is obedience? And so, let me give you some ideas. Number one. Obedience is absolutely essential for salvation. Y'all believe that? All right. Here's what the Bible said. 1 Peter 4:17. You'll recognize this one. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. Remember that? Y'all remember that? All right. Then it said this. It must begin at the house of God. And if it first began at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? Somebody said, "Brother, I thought getting saved was just running to the altar and telling, having prayer and getting up, telling everybody you got saved." No, that is not salvation. Salvation is obeying the gospel. Well, what does that mean? Obeying the gospel means this. It means you are repenting of your sins and you're placing your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, whether you pray or not, that's beside the point, because the Bible does not say that we're saved by praying. We're saved by trusting what Christ did on the cross of Calvary. That's what the book teaches. So obedience is absolutely essential if I'm going to be born again. And so let me give you this one out. Obedience is the proof of how much I love the Lord. Y'all hear that now? Somebody saying, "Brother Lewis, I love the Lord." But if your life does not show that you love the Lord, then all you just said was of no value whatsoever. Here's what the Bible said in John 14:15. If you love me, what? If you love me, keep my commandments. So when you see me obeying the Lord, then you're saying, "Well, Brother Wills loves the Lord." But if you see me disobeying the Lord, then you can say, "Brother Wills don't love the Lord as much as he said he did." So let me ask you this. Do your own self-evaluation and ask yourself this. Do I love the Lord? And I'm not asking you to answer that question according to some feeling or some emotion you have in your life. But I ask you to answer that according to how much do I obey the Lord? Do I know there's things in my life that I'm not doing or ought to be doing? Then your love for the Lord is on a lesser scale than probably what you think. So obedience is a measuring factor for our love for the Lord. Here's another one now. Do you understand that God rewards obedience? And you say, "Does he?" Yeah. Let me give you a little simple idea. And when a pastor says, "Does anybody have a testimony?" Have you ever sat there in that seat, and have you ever felt, when pastor said something like that, have you ever sat there and felt in your heart, "Man, I need to say something now"? You ever felt that? Well, if you ever obeyed that voice that you had that told you to testify, and you obeyed that, how did you feel when you got done? Did you feel like a dog, or did you feel like you had pleased the Lord? Well, you no doubt felt like you pleased God. Here's what God was doing. God was giving you a spiritual reward for your obedience to him. So God rewards obedience. Now, we could go on and give you some things. Matter of fact, just the fact that we're going to enter heaven someday is the fact that we obey the Lord. So here's what the Bible teaches this now. I want you to listen to me carefully. So how do I know Jesus Christ lives within me? Now, I'm not asking for an answer, but I'm asking to think. So how do I know that Jesus Christ really lives in me? Y'all listen now. So, Brother Wells, it's because I feel so good about myself. Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever felt bad about yourself since you've been saved? Well, where was he then? Come on, where was he then? Well, here's what I want you to try to get tonight. So here's what God does. God manifests himself to us when we obey. So here's the scripture. I want you to get it. Listen carefully. John 14:21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. So here's what God says. He says, "I'm going to tell you who I manifest myself to. It's not them that are highly emotional. That's not it. But those that I manifest myself to are those that have my commandments, and they're keeping my commandments, and I will manifest myself to them." Can I tell you this? Have I ever had a chance when I wasn't right with the Lord? Yeah, I've had some of those chances when I was not right with the Lord. Well, did God really just come down and manifest himself to me and just make me bubble over the presence of God? No. You know why? Because I was not obeying what he said. But when you obey what God said, God says, "This is the indicator that I am going to manifest myself to your life." I'm telling you something. If you ever doubt your salvation, if you ever doubt your salvation, If you'll obey God, and God will manifest himself to you one time because of your obedience, you'll probably stop all your doubts because the God of heaven manifests himself to you. Are y'all getting that now? All right, so obedience is absolutely essential. And it demonstrates my faith in Christ, and it shows its obedience. The Bible said it's better than sacrifice. But I will tell you this and move on. Disobedience leads to eternal death. Do y'all hear me? Y'all hear what I'm saying? Disobedience leads to eternal death. And so, I'm not talking about a believer now that there's one thing wrong. But I will tell you one thing. Somebody that says they're a believer and they live close to the God for years and years and years, they have never been a true born again believer. So their disobedience ultimately will lead them to eternal hell without God. So you don't want to be somebody that's not obeying. Now, with that said about obedience, I want to examine what we have here in this passage about Peter. All right, so number one. Now, this won't be necessary to be in the passage, but here's what I want to look at first of all. I want to look at what we know about Peter's character. So what kind of man is Peter? Y'all have heard this, know that all your life. Well, Peter stuck his foot in his mouth again. Y'all have something like that? Well, here's what you'll find about Peter. excuse me, if you'll follow. So here's what I want to say about it. Number one, Peter was so undistinguishable. Now, what's that old fancy word mean? Well, it means this. Peter was so common that every single one of us can identify with him. Amen. Have you ever stuck your foot in your mouth? Oh, yeah. I tell you, but anyway, I don't do it quite as bad as I used to. But here's my point, and that is, see, Peter did that often. You know, Peter opened his mouth oftentimes when he probably should have kept his mouth shut. Do you ever identify with that? Well, now that's four of y'all that shook your head. Now, come on, help us now. So, help me, Lord. So, number two, here's how I see about Peter. Peter was so unpredictable. Peter was, you never could tell what Peter's going to do. Y'all believe that? Well, let me show you the passage. Matthew 16, and water won't help, so thank you for getting the water, but water won't help what I got. But anyway, listen to me now. All right, so is he predictable? No. Matter of fact, here's what Jesus said in Matthew 16. He said, "Whom do men say that I am?" Remember that? Yeah. "Whom do men say that I am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father which in heaven." Remember that? Wasn't that great? In verse number 21, Jesus began to teach the disciples, "I'm going to Jerusalem, and the elders and the leaders of Israel are going to take me and crucify me, and on the third day I'll rise again." The Bible said in verse 22, and Peter took him aside and rebuked him. Can you imagine rebuking God? Come here now. Can you imagine rebuking God? One minute he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, I mean, if Jesus is the Son of the living God, he is God manifested in the flesh, which means he's never made a mistake in all of his existence. And now here Peter is saying, "Whoa, whoa, 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 now you're making a mistake here." And so, do you remember what Jesus said? He said, "Get thee behind me, Peter." No, no. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense to me." Remember that?
Yeah.
So look at him. And now Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the other disciples must have said, "Wow, what a brother disciple we have here. You know, we're going to be able to follow him and he'll be our leader." And then he said to Jesus, "Not so, Lord." And Peter had to call him Satan right before their eyes. You see him saying he's so unpredictable. Let me ask you this question now. Don't answer it, but let me ask you. Are you predictable or unpredictable? Are you? And I'm not talking about just your character. I'm talking about in your Christian walk. Are you predictable about the way you live for the Lord? Or are you unpredictable by the way you live for the Lord? Well, that's the way Peter was. So I'll give you one thing. At this point in time in this story, I think that Peter is probably like you and I have been. He's probably at an unsurrendered point in his life. Have you ever had that time since you've been saved in which you were unsurrendered? You just was not as surrendered to God as you should have been. All right, so that's two of us now. We're coming along. All right, so I think the answer is yes. You said, Brother Wells, I thought that right there is where God's calling him and saving him. Oh, not so. Have you read John 1? Have you read the Gospel of John, chapter number 1? The Bible said this in verse number 41. And Andrew, the Bible says, and he that is Andrew, he findeth his own brother Simon, and he saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted Christ. And so Andrew brought him to Jesus. Now, I think that is when Peter got saved and got born again, is in chapter 1 of the book of John. So in Luke 5, I believe he's saved, but he's not surrendered to the Lord. Brother Wells, I thought everybody got saved is fully surrendered. Well, you ain't lived for God long, have you? You ain't lived long for the Lord, because every single one of us are going to find a time. And I don't care how long you've lived for the Lord. I don't care how spiritual you are. You're going to have a point in your life where you're just not as surrendered to Christ as you should be. That's what we have here in Peter's life. Now, y'all remember where we're headed tonight? Anybody remember where we're headed? Now you can tell me where we're headed tonight. Faithless obedience. All right, so now, let's take this study a little further. Look in your Bible. Let's go back to Luke now. I want you to see, go to Luke 5, and I want to look at verse number 3. Now, I want to talk about the circumstances that are involved here in Peter showing us this business of faithless obedience. Are you with me now? Look in verse number 3. I want you to look at it. I'm going to pick up these words now. So look what the Bible said. And he, that is Jesus, he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. Now, here is what I want you to see. See that word, the third word in that verse, entered? See that verse, that word? All right, circle it. I'm going to give you a definition. The word entered means to walk on board, unasked for, uninvited, and unwanted. Look it up. Now, y'all hear me now. Peter and Andrew are out of the ship. Jesus walks on the ship, uninvited, unasked for, and really unwanted at this juncture. Listen to me now. When you're unsurrendered, are you really interested in God stepping in your life at that point? No, you're not. All right, so here's something you see. What I want to emphasize right now is the way Jesus Christ interrupts the things that Peter's doing. Jesus steps in, he entreats, that he enters, that is, he without being invited, without being asked, he just simply steps in to Peter's affairs. Are y'all hearing me now? So, has the Lord ever done that for you? Come here now. Has the Lord ever done that for you? Has he ever stepped into your affairs unwanted, unasked for? You'd rather go on than the status quo, but now he steps in your affairs and you didn't really want him to do so, but he stepped in. Now, look on if you would. Same verse now. So Jesus is interrupting him by entering the ship. But now notice what Jesus does after he gets in the ship. The Bible says, and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. I want you to mark that word prayed a minute. And well, Sammy, if you mark it, it'll be more in a minute. But I want you to know that word prayed. Are y'all listening to me now? I'm gonna give you what Strong's definition says about that word prayed. It means to interrogate. It means to besiege. It means to request with a continual action. What are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. Jesus stepped on board and he said, thrust out from the land a little. Yeah. Now, the Bible used the word prayed, which means to interrogate. Are y'all hearing that? So, which means this. Peter is unsurrendered at this point. He's not interested in doing what the Lord's asking him to do. And the Bible said Jesus prayed, which means it is a continuation of asking Peter to do this. You're in that. All right, so let's apply that just a minute. So whenever I'm maybe in a place where I'm not necessarily as close to God as I should, and the Lord just steps in and interrupts my affairs. So now in my heart, I know the Lord's been speaking to me about getting nearer him, about dealing with some issues in my life, but I've not been willing yet to do it. So now he steps in, and I'm still not willing. I'm still not willing to take my life a little farther. Now, I want to show you this now. Are y'all listening? I hope now. All right, so what is Jesus really asking Peter here? All right, so who does the ship belong to? Peter. That's what the Bible said. The ship belongs to Peter. So if it belongs to Peter, it's one of Peter's things, right? All right, so now, if Jesus asked him to thrust out a little from the land. Y'all listen to me now. So in order for Peter to thrust out a little from the land, matter of fact, the Bible said, well, do you remember what the Bible said they were doing? Peter and his father's brother. You remember what the Bible said? They were out of the ship and they were what? Washing their nets. Why? Because that was important to be a fisherman the way he was. So Peter is doing something that he feels like is important for his profession. But Jesus says, Peter, launch out. So what Jesus is asking him to do is give me your time and give me your things. Y'all see that? He is saying, I want you to give me your time by thrusting out. You can't wash your nets now, but give me your time and let's thrust out. And then I want you to give me your boat here and let's use it to thrust out. So Christ is asking him for his time and for his things. Have you ever noticed whenever your heart gets kind of dull on God? Have you ever noticed how that giving God your time and giving God your things is not the easiest thing you've ever done? You ever notice that?
Yeah.
So here's what the Lord's doing. He's interrupting Peter's affairs because he's distant from him. And so he's asking him for his things and he's asking him for his time. Now, look at verse number 3 again. Notice the latter part of verse number 3. And the Bible says, and Jesus, that is Jesus, he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. Are y'all hearing me now? Hello?
Yeah.
All right, so get the picture now. Now Peter has finally thrust out a little from the shore. Jesus has sat down in the ship and he's looking back to the shore and he's talking to these people. What did he say? We don't have any idea. By the way, Brother Lee, let me give you my opinion. When Jesus knelt down and wrote in the sand, question, is Jesus God? Whatever he wrote, he wrote the Word of God. That's really true. By the way, wait a minute. So let me not get offshore here, off the subject. So Jesus is preaching. We don't know what he said. We don't know how long he preached to that crowd. There is not one indication in the story that Peter got a single word of what he taught. Have you ever sat in church, heard message after message, and it didn't affect you not one lick? So here's where Peter is. He is, and here's what I want you to get now. This is a setting, but I want you to notice now the instruction that Peter gave, Jesus gave Peter. So if you paid careful attention here, Jesus asked him to do three things. What were they? Anybody can tell me? Help me now. Thrust. That same thing. Thrust out. What's the next one? Launch out. Yeah, and let down. That's right. That's right. That's right. All right. So I want you to get the idea now. All right. So first thing Jesus says, thrust out a little from the land. Is that right? Then he says, launch out in the deep. Is that right? Then he says, let down your what? Nets. Now let me ask you a question. Did Peter obey him? Be careful now. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Everything that Jesus asked him to do, he ultimately, at least halfway, obeyed. What's true? Did Jesus ask him to thrust out a little from the land? And if that word is right, and it is right, we prayed, that means he interrogated him. He kept after him until he finally did it. Is that not what the Lord does to you and I? He keeps after us until we finally obey what he has to say. So Peter obeyed. He thrust out. Jesus says, launch out in the deep. Well, Peter did. He launched out in the deep. Right?
Yeah.
Jesus said, now let down your nets. By the way, I want you to listen to what I'm about to tell you. Listen. He said, let down your nets. What for? Amen. For a troth. Now, I want you to think about this. Who is saying this? This is Jesus, the Son of God. Let down your nets for a... All right, so let me ask you. Jesus did not just say, let down your nets, but he added, for a troth. Is that not a promise with a command that will be in effect if you obey what I say to do? Is that right? All right, so here's what I want you to get. All right, so I want you to look at Peter's response, if you would, in verse number 5. And I really think that verse number 5 really gives his attitude for every time he obeyed. Verse number 5. Simon Peter answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down, come on now, the net. All right? So, did Jesus say, let down your net or nets? He said, let down your nets for a draught. So, is Peter obeying? Yes, but half-heartedly. All right? So here's my take on that. He has said, by the way, called Jesus Master. In that verse, he called him Master. Is that right? That means he's calling him a teacher. He's not acknowledging him as Lord, as he should. He called him a teacher. And he said, Master, we've toiled all the night long. Master, we've toiled all night long. We're just saying, we're expert at this. Yeah, that's what he's saying. We toiled all the night long. We're experts, and we've taken nothing, which means an expert can end up a has-been drip. Amen. So they didn't take nothing, but he said, we'll pamper you. You ask us to let down the nest, but we'll pamper you. We'll let down one of them. Have you ever tried to pamper the Lord to get out of what he wants you to do? I want to give you an illustration. When I'm a young preacher, I mean, you can tell I ain't now, but there were, just take my word for it, there once was a day when I was. And so I was so green, I did not know to even ask people to pray about salvation. I was that green. And the Lord spoke to my heart. He says, I want you to go to the jail in Dalton, Georgia, is where I live. I want you to go to the jail. I want you to tell the boys up there to get, you know, about me. And I said, all right. So the day I'm supposed to go, I got my little car and I took off. And when I got where I was supposed to turn off to go to jail, I kept going and went to the hospital. And back then, they had a little card file on the counter at the reception's office desk. And you'd go through there and you'd pick out the names of the people you knew and you could go visit them. You know, that's before COVID. You know what I'm saying? So I went up there and I'm patting myself on the back, breaking my arm, you know, and called. I've used my time today to go out and visit these precious people in the hospital. So I jumped my little car and I headed back home. And you go across the railroad track, and when you went across the railroad track, had to turn right to go to jail. When I went across that railroad track, the Holy Ghost said, Larry, you hadn't done what I wanted you to do. So I turned around. By the way, I drove a Rambler. Anybody know what a Rambler was? Yeah. And I drove my little Rambler down that road to the jail. I went in so green. And I said, this is who I am, and this is what I'd like to do. And they looked at one another, and I guess they said, well, he surely can't hurt nothing. So they took me up there, and I'm telling you, I'm so green, I didn't know anything. And so I just stood out there at the bars, and I told them who I was and what I was there for. And I started telling them what happened to me and God saving me. And I will never forget this. There's this great big old black boy come up the bars, and I'm telling you, he looked like he was a careless employee at a butcher shop. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he had cuts all over him, scars all over him. And he stood there at that bar, and I'm just telling him about Jesus. Tears just streaming out of his eyes, and that's the green. I didn't even know to ask him if he wanted to be saved. That's how green I am. But see, you know what I tried to do? I tried to pamper God by going to the hospital and doing what I want to do in the name of the Lord. Have you ever tried to pamper God? Have you ever tried to pamper Him? God wants you to do something specific, and you're just trying to pamper God and doing something, you know, that's not maybe as drastic as what He was asking you to do. Well, so here Peter is, and that's what he's doing. So his attitude is, we'll pamper you, Lord. Now, let's think now. Why would Peter, now, by the way, you know what you call this? Peter obeyed, but I think this verse gives the real attitude of Peter every time he obeyed. I'll thrust out, but I don't want to. I'll launch out, but I don't want to. I'll let down the nets, but I don't want to. So you got to say he obeyed, but you have to say he was faithless when he obeyed. He did not expect one thing when he obeyed God. He didn't expect nothing. Why? Because of faithless disobedience, faithless obedience. Now, I want you to bear this in mind just a moment. So what was Jesus asking Peter to do? He's in his ship. Thrust out a little. Launch out in the deep. Let down your nets. What was Jesus trying to do this man? Here's what he was doing. Are y'all please listening to me? Jesus is asking him to go beyond what he had already experienced. Man, I want you to listen to what I'm telling you. What experience have you had with God? I mean, how has God worked in your life? What experiences have you had with God? Jesus is asking Peter, now Peter, what I really want to do is I want to take you a step farther than you've ever experienced before. Y'all hear me now. Ronnie, how long have you been saved? 1987. Okay, that's under 50 years. Amen. That's my quick math. or since 1987, 13 to 25, that's 37 years. Is that right? All right, so in 37 years. Now, that's pretty good while I live for God, ain't it? What do y'all think? All right, so do you reckon in 37 years, you reckon Ronnie has totally exhausted God's ability to give him experience? What do you think? How long have you been saved? All right, so that's 35 years. Getting good on that math. All right, so now I know I've known Pastor a long time. And so has Pastor ever had experience with God? I mean, has God ever worked in Pastor's life? What do y'all think? Huh? What do you reckon God's done? You reckon surely, you know, I mean, after 35 years and 37 years, you would think surely God would run out of experiences he would want us to have. You reckon there's anything left for you? You reckon God has got anything left he wants you to do? Now, could I borrow you, dear ladies, a minute? Tell me your first name. Phyllis and Petty. Phyllis and Peggy. As far as I know, y'all have been here ever since I've been coming to this place. Far as I know. Well, now then, we're not going to ask your age. Say thank you, preacher. All right, so but now I want you to hear what I'm about to say here. So here's two ladies that are evidently Christians, evidently been serving God, and a matter of fact, their energy level of the 20s and 30s are long gone and won't ever return. So is there any experiences left for them? Let me give you a testimony here. I'm preaching this meeting on Mont Eagle, Tennessee. Y'all know where that place is? You ever heard of it? Well, it's there. And I didn't see no eagles, but it's pretty high up. But now I'm sitting at dinner. Now listen to what I'm about to tell you. I'm sitting at dinner, and the pastor and his wife are sitting in front of me and Carolyn. And the pastor says to me, Brother Wells, said my wife's grandmother is the godliest woman I ever knew. Said she died last year in 94 or 96, I can't remember, but he was one of the two. And he said, she was the godliest woman I ever knew. Said she would get up real early in the morning, get her pan of ice water, and go sit down beside her rocker. And said she would sit in her rocker, and she would pray to God hours on end. When she got sleepy, she would dip her hand in that ice water, put on her face, so she could keep praying to God. He said, one day a neighbor called her and said, Granny, said, I want you to pray for me. Said, I've lost my billfold. It's got some real important papers in it. Said, I need it. Now, I've looked everywhere for it. Will you help me pray to find that billfold? She said, I will. And a few days later, she called him and said, whatever his name was, Herman, the day you lost your billfold, was you in the woods? He said, well, matter of fact, it was. She said, well, did you sit down on a log by any chance? He said, I did. She said, go to the log, you'll find your billfold. He went to the log, and there it lay. 90-something years old. Is she effective with God? Has God lost usefulness for her? That story has been told by me. I don't know how many times since the preacher told it to me. Here's what I'm trying to say. No matter what you've experienced with God, no matter how close you think you've been, no matter how near you've been to Him, don't you understand what He's trying to do to you today? He's trying to take you a step farther than you have ever been in all your life with Him. You say, I've experienced all this. You mean to tell me that a God that neither the earth and the galaxy cannot contain made over 200 million galaxies, and you know all there is to know about him? So here's what the Lord's doing. He's trying to take Peter beyond his experience. And I'm telling you, that's what he's wanting to do for y'all. He's wanting to take every one of y'all individually beyond where you've ever walked with him. He's going to take you a little farther. Now, I'm going to start now looking at something else here. So here's what the Lord's doing. He's going to take Peter beyond his experience, but beyond his expertise. Now, that's my little way of putting abilities. Now, I saw, y'all remember a guy named Jack Van Impe? Remember that guy? I went to see him preach one time. Actually, I went to see him recite his sermon he had memorized. Come here now. Come here. We had a meeting. Help me here, Lord. Help me here. We had a meeting in our church several years ago. And I invited several preachers who were looked on in the eyes of men quite a bit higher than me. Y'all understand what I'm trying to say? I just got through telling you we invited a bunch of big shots. So back then, our choir, I mean, it was, I don't know if Brother Mark had ever been to our church when we were at our peak. But we probably had 75 or 80 people in the choir. And I'm telling you, bud, they would lift the rafters off the building. And so one of these preachers came in of a notable dignity. And he was supposed to preach that night. And it got on. Y'all know what that means? Y'all know what that means? I mean, it got on. And I was watching his face. I could see the worried look come in his eyes. He didn't know how to handle the service where God was working. He didn't know how to deal with it because, you know, he's used to cut and dry. I'm telling you, God is going to take me beyond cut and dry. He's going to take me beyond my abilities. No matter what ability I've got to preach, no matter what ability I've got to, God wants to take me beyond whatever ability I've got.
Yes.
What ability you got? Brother Lee, I thought you did a good job this morning. Yeah, I did. And I looked at him and I thought, well, you know, we did have to listen to his papa a number of years, probably. And, you know, and he's been in church all his life, probably before he was ever born. Probably, but here's what I'm trying to say. I thought he did good. You reckon that's as good as he can do? You reckon that's as good as you can do, Brother Lee? I thought you did a good job. You're welcome. You can pay me later. You reckon he could do better? Heard you playing today. Heard you playing today. You reckon you could do better? And I don't necessarily mean by practice, practice, practice. I mean, by getting on your face and looking to God and saying, Lord, I want to go a step higher here.
Yeah.
I want to go a step higher.
Yeah. Lord God.
Oh, help me. I was in a meeting over on the other side of, where am I? I was in a meeting on the other side of Asheville. Listen to me now. On the other side, I was preaching. And the pastor had these singers come in. And when they announced the singers, I thought, that girl, I've seen that girl somewhere. You remember them, Carolyn? And the last time I saw that girl, she was about this high. I saw her at her home church way back years ago in Georgia. And you know what she did? I mean, a little kid, she'd go get down at the piano stool and she would cry to God for God to give her the ability to play the piano. You should have heard her play. It was beyond belief, I mean. You know why? She was wanting God to take her a little step farther. And I don't care what your abilities are. Oh. Will y'all bear with me a minute? You know I'm going to take two. Y'all ever heard of I can't remember his first name. Yeah, I think it's initial. Letourneau. You ever heard of the guy named Letourneau? He produced big, heavy equipment. But I remember that name. I read his book about a year or so ago. And he got born again and saved by God's grace, but he was a genius at producing and making this heavy equipment. Matter of fact, the heavy equipment you see out here, you know, working on these big earth-moving jobs, the basic design came from him. That man got born again and saved by God's grace. And you know, he gave away 90% of everything he made. Let me tell you what he did. Do y'all remember history when that Bible college over here in Tocoa? Y'all remember when that thing washed away, the dam broke, washed away? That's been a long time ago. Letourneau came over to Tocoa and built a factory in Tocoa for the people in Tocoa. And you know, he was just a little old nothing. God saved him. And God just kept taking him beyond his ability. Beyond his ability. Listen, boy, that's enough of that. But here's what I'm saying. I don't care what your ability is. Simply by the way of it. Now, that's not true. That's not true. You, when Christ saved you, he puts you in the body of Christ. He gave you whatever ability he wants you to have. It's in you. Are you willing to find it? Are you willing to let God take you beyond the abilities that you got? So, God wanted to take him beyond his experience, beyond his expertise. And then let me say this one. He wanted to take him, listen to me now. He wanted to take him beyond his vision. What was his vision? Now you think about that a moment. I mean, you pull it right out of the scripture. What was his vision? He told you in verse number 5, he said, we've labored all night and taken nothing. Here's what his vision was. When Jesus said, let down your nets for a draw, his vision was empty nets. That was all he saw, was empty nets. All right, now, I'm going to say something. It's not meant to hurt you. It's meant to challenge you. How long have we had this meeting booked, preacher? How long have we had this meeting booked? 3 months? Month? 2 months? Whatever, throughout 3 months. Well, I'm sure Pastor probably announced that pretty quickly after he booked me. So let me ask you this. What was your vision for this meeting? Well, we hadn't had but 42,000 others, and not much really occurred, so this one will probably be like the others. Come on now, listen to me now. So the Lord is saying, in the Lord's way, Peter, I know what your vision is. You're not expecting anything. Peter, I want to take you beyond your envisionment. I want to take you beyond what you're envisioning, Peter. Peter could see throwing out that net again, waste it again. Now I'm going to go wash it again, get all that seaweed out of it. But Peter was dumbfounded whenever he began to pull in That's exactly what Jesus said, isn't it? He said, let down your nets for a draw. That's promise. And Jesus put the promise in there. If you'll do what I'm telling you, there will be a draw. And that word draw means a drag of fishes is what it means. Yeah. So there they are. Now, what's Peter's response to all this? Well, look what it said. The Bible said when Peter saw this, he what? Now, what did he say? He fell down at Jesus' knees. Now, know what it said? He fell down at Jesus' knees. And what did he say? Now, do it. Phrase it time now. Help me, somebody. Depart from me. But he classified who he was. What did he say? Depart from me from a sinful man. Not an unsaved man, but a sinful man. What was his sin? Unbelief. His sin was unbelief. He did what Jesus asked him to do with absolute heart filled with unbelief. And so now he's at Jesus' knees. And he's saying, Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. And by the way, he said, depart from me, O Lord, for I'm a sinful man. I forgot exactly where the word Lord is. But he's no longer calling Jesus Master. He's now calling him Lord. He's got Jesus back in his heart, exactly where he needs to be. Now, let me ask you this question here, and I'm done. I could give you more, but I'm going to be done. What do you think really changed Peter's mind? What do you think really started Peter to sin, his condition, and his faithlessness? Now, don't even answer that. Here's my word I want to give you. There was a pull and a tug from an unseen world. Now, you think about what I just said. He's got that net out there. He don't see that net. He don't see them fish in that net, but he felt the pull from an unseen world. Go hear that. Is anybody here feeling a pull from an unseen world to let God take you beyond your experience, beyond your abilities, and beyond your vision? We'll quote those verses. With God, all things are possible with the Lord. You know, and what's that verse in Ephesians? Now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. Remember that? Remember that? Do y'all remember the last part of that verse? Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. See, the power is already in us. It's Jesus. But we've been kind of taking him for granted. And, well, he's a sovereign God. He's going to just do what he wants to do. Listen, I know all that. I'm going to tell you what I do know. I know whatsoever we ask in faith, believing, shall receive. That's what he said. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, it shall be done. Oh, what could God do? What could God do on this mountain here if we would not operate in faithless obedience, but we would start believing God with all of our heart that he's going to do something for us? Let's see his name. Faithless obedience. And I don't know how y'all pray. Don't know what you pray. Let me tell you. I'll just tell you what I pray. One of the things I pray for. When I get down to pray. You remember that passage? You know, in that model prayer, Jesus says, pray to be delivered from evil. You remember that? Yeah. And then you remember, y'all have surely heard about Jabez, famous Jabez's prayer. He said, "Bless me indeed, who enlarge my coast." Remember that? And he said, "Keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." But I pray this every day. Lord, keep me from an unbelieving heart. Oh, God, keep me from... Are y'all listening, Brother Wells? I want to tell you by experience. You better hear what I'm telling you. I tell you by experience. When you start questioning God, when you start doubting the things of God, and you let unbelief enter in your heart, here's where you're going. And I'm going to tell you, you better listen. When you start challenging God and doubting God, you're not going to pull out of that ditch by saying, "Lord, I confess my sins to thee." You ain't going to get out of that ditch that quick. Because you've just called God a liar. You've just called God a liar. What you say don't mean nothing. You better beg God to deliver you from an unbelieving heart. Fill your heart with the faith of the Son of God. Amen. Watch God work for you and do for you. All right, I'm done. Thank you all for listening. I'm going to pray with you. And Pastor will be coming. Dear Father, I bless the Lord's name and I praise you for your help tonight. My Father, oh God. Father, I want to ask you, Father, again, cleanse us from unbelief and, Lord, from walking in unbelief and walking just in total unexpectancy, Lord, of anything you want to do. Oh, my precious Lord, please touch our hearts. Oh, beloved God, touch our hearts and our souls.